Take your Bibles, if you would. John chapter 10. Go ahead and remain seated in respect to God's Word this morning. But I'd like to look at two verses and then just deal with one simple little thought. John chapter 10, verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Father, we're grateful for this passage of Scripture that record the words of Christ. Bless us now as we consider a few simple thoughts from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This isn't, on the surface, a typical Christmas message passage. But what we find in this verse is Jesus giving us one of the reasons why he came. He came to bring life, to give us life. And he talks about the contrast between the devil, who is the father of all those without Christ. And as he talks about the devil, he talks about stealing, killing, and destroying. Now, that doesn't sound like good intentions to me, and certainly the devil has no good intentions. And I say from time to time that the devil has no friends, and he doesn't. Those that serve him and those that worship him, he still seeks to steal from, to kill, and to destroy. That's who he is. But on the other hand, Jesus has come to give life. That's why he came as a baby. God taking upon himself flesh in order to die, because God could not die. And so Jesus took upon himself flesh to die in your place. And so as he died on the cross, he gave his life that you might find life. But not just giving us life, but giving us, as it says in verse number 10, life more abundantly. And that's the thought I'd like to consider this morning, the fact that Jesus came to give life more abundantly. Now, some years ago, there was a man that was born into a wealthy, influential family. This is a true story, by the way. A young man born into a wealthy, influential family. They used their finances to secure for him education in only the finest of schools. We're talking about life more abundantly, not just life, but life abundantly. Educated in the finest schools, and as a result, became very successful in his career, advancing far beyond his peers, those of his same age. This young man was intelligent, zealous, analytical, and quick-minded. But one day, on a business trip, he met Christ and was saved. As a result of his salvation, he turned his back on his lucrative career. He turned his back on his promising life in order to serve Christ. Well, he used the same talents that he used in a secular setting. He used those same talents and abilities and same education and learning for the cause of Christ and became a very successful church. In fact, he was pastor of the largest, fastest growing church in the world, not just of his country, but in the world. But as he was busy serving Christ there as pastor, God put his hand on him and called him to the mission field. Now, I can't imagine what his family or friends would have thought when he turned his back on his career after finding Christ and entering the ministry. But he now turns his back on a successful pastorate to become a missionary, traveling where the gospel had not been presented. As he did that, he was successful in winning souls and in planting churches. But in the doing of that, he suffered much physical and personal hardship, financial hardship as well. Oftentimes working a job simply to support himself because his support, financial support, was terribly lacking. He endured such severe persecution, not just from the political world, but also from the religious world, that he often find himself imprisoned. The same man that lived this life, towards the end of his life, had a few things to say, because we're talking about having life, and that more abundantly. Oftentimes we would think that his abundant life was in his secular job, where he was so successful and set for life. Or perhaps we would have thought if he was going to go into the ministry, he might as well be successful there as well, if he's to experience the abundant life. But we find him living his life, the majority of his life, on a mission field, deprived financially and physically and socially from the persecution. And yet as he gets to the end of his life, here's what he had to say. He says, "For I reckon the suffering, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Did you notice what he said about all the hardship he endured on the mission field? He said, "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He says, "I found the abundant life. It doesn't come in living for this world. It comes in living for the next." He also had this to say as he was at the end of his life. He said, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." That doesn't sound to me like a man who had any regrets. In fact, that sounds to me like a man who found life, and that more abundantly. Are you still searching for the abundant life this morning? You won't find it in your career. You won't find it anywhere but yielding fully to Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't yet trusted Him as your Savior. Let me encourage you. We're going to sing one last song. And during that song, we're going to open up the invitation. If you this morning would like to know for sure you're on your way to heaven so you can experience life and more abundantly, you come and get my attention and let me know. We'll have someone share with you out of the Scriptures. If you're here this morning and you know you're on your way to heaven and you have yet to experience that abundant life, let me encourage you this morning during the invitation, you just come to the old-fashioned altar and say, "Lord, I surrender all." Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your Son as that first Christmas gift, which is far more valuable than any other gift we've ever received, whether it be at Christmas or any other time of our lives, because the gift was your Son offering to us eternal life because he died in our place and shed that precious blood on our behalf that we might have forgiveness of sin. Father, if there be even one here this morning, I pray that they might be saved this morning. Father, for those of us that are, Father, may we yield our lives unto thee in order that you might bless us with that abundant life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.